Happy World Oceans Day. This is episode 33 of Trash Talking with Eco Warriors featuring Emma Cohen of Final Straw.
You're tuning in to Trash Talking with Eco Warriors, where women share inspiring stories about their careers in green business, sustainability, and conservation. Here's your host and founder of Trashy Beauty, Barbara Lee.
Happy World Ocean Week. I totally made that up. It's World Ocean Day on June 8th, and we at Trashy Beauty are going to be celebrating it all month, in fact, starting with today's episode. We have four amazing stories to share with you this June from movers and shakers who are addressing plastic waste. This is a huge key to improving the marine environment and protecting the ocean, which provides 70% of the world's oxygen. Today's episode features a very special guest, Emma Cohen. Emma is the co-founder of Final Straw, the world's first collapsible straw that can be carried on your keychain. When I saw this product on Kickstarter, I flipped. It is such an ingenious solution to wanting to end your plastic usage and having the convenience of a straw to be able to use. Not to mention, their advertising is just hilarious. Definitely watch if you love mermaids. I'll link the video for their Kickstarter campaign in the show notes. Emma also has such an interesting background and story. She was working at the Los Alamos National Laboratory, which is best known for the Manhattan Project, when she was trying to figure out what she wanted to do with her life. She ended up being approached by Miles Pepper, Final Straw's other co-founder, who had seen Emma's TED Talk about plastic waste in the ocean, and approached Emma to build Final Straw with him. This was such an amazing conversation about how Final Straw was born and Emma's journey to getting there. Let's get trash talking.
Hi, Emma. Welcome to Trash Talking.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Excited to be here.
This is fantastic. So you have this really cool concept that you guys have created called Final Straw, and you guys reached over a million in fundraising on Kickstarter. Congratulations.
Thanks.
It's so crazy. So tell me a little bit more about Final Straw and how you got to being in charge of this really cool company that's kind of making this huge movement.
Yeah. 2.5 years ago, I did a TEDx talk on straws. And in New Mexico, I've always been obsessed with waste since I was a little kid. And so I was working at Los Alamos National Laboratory in their waste minimization program and got offered this opportunity to do a TEDx talk. So I was going to do it on this big, like, macro look at waste in government institutions. And then I was like, why go at it like that? Why don't we talk about something that's really, really easy to remove from your life? Straws. I did this talk and then I posted it on my social media, and of course all my friends like were amazingly supportive and also really shockingly said to me that they'd never thought about straws before as being a source of waste. And so I kind of felt like through that talk I hit this very powerful vein of realization, because it's one of those things where you learn about the issue and you can never unlearn it. And then if you're like me, right. You become obsessed. So right. I did that and then was still working at Los Alamos National Laboratory when in October of last year, I get a call from Miles Pepper, who had heard about me through a mutual friend. And he was very interested in the talk that I had done and told me that he had this amazing idea for a collapsible, reusable straw. And I was in the process of working on my master's thesis at Harvard on reusable to-go containers. So we're talking about this collapsible straw idea, and I'm like, yeah, that's cool and all, but I actually want to make a collapsible to-go container. And he's like, no, like straw first, and then we can do your idea. So that's like how it all started. And we had only met for an hour at Burning Man that previous year and basically just started this business over the phone together. And it really evolved from, you know, me sitting in my car during my lunch breaks, talking on the phone to him to, like, you know, trying to sneak in time whenever I could, to me quitting my job and working on this, you know, 12 hours a day every day. So pretty amazing.
That's crazy. And so tell me a little bit more about like your background. So you were working at this laboratory on waste. Like, what was that all about?
Yeah, so Los Alamos National Laboratory is actually where the atomic bomb was invented. That's where the Manhattan Project took place. So they are primarily a nuclear weapons research facility. And they have, 12,000 employees. So it's a pretty weird place, to be honest. It's isolated from, the rest of the world. And so it's kind of this weird island up on a mesa. And I worked there for 4 years. And I loved it up until a point where I realized that, I'm just not a fit for the federal government. I just started a website called suckresponsibly.com. Like, I'm a little too weird for the federal government. So I'm like very fiery personality. I don't like, people telling me that I need to sign on the dotted line at this, in this order of things. And so, it was just pretty clear that it wasn't going to work out for me there. But my boss was amazing. He was my mentor, and I told him all about the straw idea, and he loves it. And I keep sending him Kickstarter updates, and he's really into it. Yeah, when I started working at the lab, I was getting my MBA, but I was pretty miserable in that program. It just felt like school. It didn't feel like I was enriching myself or growing as a person, and it didn't feel like I was really applying it to my life. And it seemed like that's what you should do with a master's. It should be something that you actually are interested in. I was telling my boss about this, and he was like, well, there's this really cool extension program at Harvard where you can do most of the work online and then do the other portion of it on campus. So I applied for that program instead and got in, and it really turned out to be exactly what I needed. So I'm going to graduation in a couple weeks.
That's amazing. So cool.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Tell me a little bit more about why the environment is so important to you. Like, obviously you're very passionate about it, and what do you think kind of sparks this in you that makes you so concerned about the environment?
Yeah. So I grew up in Santa Fe, New Mexico. So being outdoors was always a really big part of my life. I never thought that I was going to go into environmental work. Growing up, I was very interested in the brain, in neurology, and how the brain affects behavior. So I actually did my undergraduate in neuroscience and kind of thought that I was going to be either a doctor or a researcher. But I ended up getting my EMT and working, in the hospital setting a bit, and it was awful, as of like a setting of wanting, I would hate to work in a hospital. During all of these college, I have a very close-knit group of girlfriends in Santa Barbara, and we just kind of started noticing how much trash and specifically plastic was ending up on the beach. So we started doing some beach cleanups, and we also like to dress up. So we ended up all making mermaid outfits and dressing up like mermaids and doing beach cleanups. And this eventually evolved into the creation of a nonprofit that we started called Save the Mermaids. So we dress up like mermaids and do beach cleanups, and it ended up turning into like a whole kids program. That's when my interest really started growing on plastics, and specifically single-use plastics. Taking that and like making it fun and sexy and sparkly and silly, because I think that's a little bit what's missing from sustainability right now. Is like the aspect that makes people want to join in. If it's just photos of, a turtle getting a straw pulled out of his nose, it's like overwhelming. And you're like, it's too much. You don't know what to do at that point. But if we kind of like make it a way where people can be involved and have fun doing it, it seems a little more inclusive.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely hear you on that. I think it's also like getting away from this like shaming, and if you make it fun and you make it trendy, like there's definitely a lot more traction that you can gain there.
Right. And that's why I think Final Straw has really struck a chord with people, because, not only is it fun and chic and has a nice design, but it's also kind of a way to connect with this movement. And that's why I think we've had such a powerful response.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, your commercial is like hilarious.
Thank you so much. Miles and I had a really good time writing that. Just getting to say whatever you want to say. No one's there saying, oh, I don't think you can say that. Like, it's our freaking company. We'll say whatever we want.
I love that message. I encourage everyone to like go and watch it because it's really funny, and I think it like summarizes the issue really well. And I think it's like So tell me more about this product and about this issue around straws.
Sure. So straw bans have become really popular. Seattle, Malibu, Oakland, Vancouver is now introducing a ban. So some really big cities are starting to introduce plastic straw bans. Well, that's great and awesome, but the fact is that people love straws, as we've shown with our campaign. I had no idea this many people loved straws. I honestly thought we were going to sell, you know, a couple hundred of these things. So it was pretty shocking when we exceeded our goal 10 times over in the first 24 hours. Straws are a really great example of completely unnecessary waste for the majority of people. You know, you get one in your cup, you maybe like swirl it around in your drink twice, you take it out and you put it on the table. So that piece of plastic is going to be in the world forever. Plastic never breaks down. Instead, it, you know, breaks up into tiny little pieces of plastic that then absorb toxic chemicals from the environment and then are being, you know, introduced into our food chain. So, of course, these like little plastic particles are turning in, you know, break down to the small size of plankton. And then fish are ingesting them, and then it's working its way up into us. And this is a huge public health concern. And yes, straws are a small part of it, but I think that they serve as the point of awareness because it's such an easy thing to point out, and it's also something we all can relate to and also have power over changing. So that's why, you know, with every straw that we sell, we're including these little cards that people can give to, you know, the restaurant, bar, cafe of their choice that asks the restaurant to only serve straws on request. So, you know, I don't care how many straws we sell. I care that every time you go to a restaurant, you do not get a straw in your drink unless you specifically ask for one. And that's like what my really big mission is behind this.
Yeah, for sure. This is actually something that I was thinking a lot about. I was like, I wish there was like a button or something that I could like wear or like a bracelet that when I ordered at a bar, like a bartender could just see it and know like, do not put a straw in my drink.
Like one of those, you know, like emergency alert bracelets.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I just want something to like denote this because, you know, sometimes it's like I don't order my own drink. And so like a friend comes back with a straw in my drink and I'm like, like.
Seriously? It's a very emotional feeling when you get a straw in your drink and you really don't want one. Problem is that, like, sometimes no matter how many times you say, no straw, please, like, you know, I've worked as a server. I've worked as a bartender. Like, there's so much going on that, like, a weird request, like, no straw, please, like, very often gets overlooked. And I understand that because, you know, I've been in those positions, but you know, then it really sucks as a customer who specifically asked for no straw to still.
Yeah.
And then I feel powerless. It's like, what am I supposed to do to like make it very clear that I don't want the straw?
It's a pretty big issue. There's like, what, 500 million straws that are used like on a daily basis, is it?
Yeah, every day in the U.S. alone.
That's an insane number. Like, I can't even.
It's huge.
I can't even. That's like such a crazy number. Like, there's only so much of us in the entire planet, and apparently we're all using at least like one or two a day. So.
I did the math, and it's enough to wrap around the Earth 2.5 times every day.
Yikes.
Just in the U.S.
So how do you stay inspired to continue working on this problem? Because obviously it's a big problem, and it's not like it's going to change, you know, in a heartbeat. So how do you stay inspired when it becomes, like, difficult?
I think I get my inspiration from a lot of places. Like, first of all, the messages that I've been getting. It's like people still go to their computers and write emails to complete strangers. It's not a lost thing. And, you know, I've never been at the end of those emails before. And now that I am, it's like amazing. I seriously get at least a few emails every single day from complete strangers that reach out to me and tell me what a big difference we're making in the world. And so it's really cool. I encourage anyone listening to this to write a stranger an email because it really will touch their heart and give them the fuel that they need to keep going after it in the world. I would say, you know, the second bit of inspiration I just take from the reaction we've had. Like, You know, I think that it's really easy working in sustainability to get depressed and kind of think the world is going, you know, to crap. But I think that our product shows that people do really care and people want to make the necessary changes. We just have to innovate and make those changes accessible to everyone.
For you, who are some of the people that, like, have really been, like, your role models in this? Like, who has led the forefront for you and your thoughts and actions around learning more about sustainability and these issues?
Well, my boss at the laboratory, Terry Fakey, was a huge inspiration and mentor for me. You know, I was under his... I'm also very inspired by all the leaders of the Plastic Pollution Coalition and the Last Plastic Straw. We've been working with them, Diane Cohen and Jackie Nunez, to collaborate and figure out how we can, you know, work together to do this. I think it's really important that organizations with similar causes, you know, work together. What's the point in reinventing the wheel? Let's use each other's resources and we're all working towards a similar goal.
Yeah, absolutely. That's amazing. And what have been some of the biggest challenges with Final Straw and starting this whole company?
I just thought of one more inspiration, though, that I have to say, Tim Ferriss. Like, I've always been a huge fan of his books and his podcast. And we actually, like, you know, researched. He has all these articles on how to throw a successful Kickstarter campaign. And it's like, if you just follow those, if you just read those articles, like, that's what we did. That's what we did for our pre-campaign strategy. And, you know, I attribute much of our success to those tips. And, like, he's really trying to, like, distill powerful information in the world and make it accessible to the masses. And I really appreciate and admire that. Let's see, the biggest challenges. Okay. Well, first of all, I would say, you know, it's just starting a business with someone, you know, is challenging in interpersonal relationships. I'm so lucky to be with Miles. And I think, you know, it's just been a million life lessons, learning how to communicate, learning how to, you know, work with another person that shares a very similar vision, but maybe wants to, you know, go about it in a different way, you know, to see what we make of it. I'm very, very grateful for him. Let's see, other challenges. I mean, building the team has been a challenge. We, you know, it was two of us going into this Kickstarter, and that's it. And then, you know, overnight, we're getting hundreds of emails. And so, you know, I didn't sleep for 4 days. I had, like, a freaking crazy adrenaline reaction to the Kickstarter and was, like, couldn't eat. It was very intense. So, you know, just, like, hormonal reaction in my body to this amount of stress. So we've been slowly building the team, but, you know, it's hard to find people that really that you can trust, that share your vision and, you know, that you want to work with on a daily basis. Okay. Those are probably the two biggest challenges.
Yeah. That's so crazy. And then you were also like mentioning that you guys have all these like issues with like people mimicking your product.
Yeah, so that's been, you know, a new problem in the last bit of time. And, you know, people, the greatest form of flattery is copycat. So, you know, I smile for a second and then I get pissed. But, you know, we're very aware that this is something that we're going to be battling throughout the, you know, time our business is alive.
Well, that's awesome. And, you know, I think one of the cool things about your company is that I think when you start innovating, like, you do create this cascade effect of innovation.
Yeah.
So if more people think of ways to do this, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's definitely...
Totally.
It is flattery. It does kind of suck. But at the same time, it's like, you guys have really sparked...
Absolutely. I think, you know, the one thing that we're really concerned about is that we are backing our product with a lifetime guarantee, and and we are using really high quality materials.
Absolutely.
So that is what worries me about the copycats, is I know that they're not going to be using the same quality materials as we are.
Yeah, for sure. I totally hear you. And so if people want to find your specific product, where should they go to purchase it?
Right now, our website is stuffresponsibly.com. We are in the process of acquiring finalstraw.com, but we should have it next week.
And you're planning on launching this product later this year.
Final Straw will hit the market hopefully in November. That's our expected launch date, and we're working our butts off to make sure that happens.
Okay, and for someone who's never seen what it is, like, can you describe what it looks like? It's a collapsible straw. It fits into a cool container.
Sure. So Final Straw is the world's first collapsible, reusable straw that fits on your keychain. We've designed it to be small enough to carry with you anywhere you go and anywhere you take your car keys. We have also included a cleaning squeegee, so that way you can clean it when you're on the go and don't have to worry about having a gunky, gross straw, you know, a couple days later when you pull it out to use it again.
Right. And the other really cool thing is that you guys have, it's not just made out of metal, but it also has protective tips on both ends.
Yeah, so when we were designing Final Straw, we knew that the communities in need of straws are a lot of people with physical disabilities. So we wanted to create the straw that was safe for anyone to use, you know, including anyone with maybe any sort of physical challenges or physical issues, or just, you know, a child who has, you know, dexterity limitations.
For sure, yeah. It's a great design. It's super beautiful. I love the cases.
Thank you.
The names of the colors are hilarious.
I've always wanted to name nail polishes. It's, like, been a weird dream of mine. So to get to name the cases was really fun.
Nice. Awesome. Well done.
Thank you.
So I usually ask this question, but I feel like it's almost like just repetitive to ask you, but what's your one specific tip for someone who wants to live a more eco-conscious lifestyle?
I mean, I would say my top tips for living an eco-conscious lifestyle are, number one, composting. Sending organic material to the landfill creates methane, which is a greenhouse gas that's 40 times more potent. My second tip is to eat less meat. If you look up the equivalent of eating meat as compared to flying across the world, you'll be shocked at the numbers. So, you know, pick 1 or 2 days a week where you allow yourself meat, and then just stick to that schedule, and you'll find that it's actually pretty easy to remove meat from your diet. You know, I still eat a little meat here and there, but, you know, I've really drastically reduced it after finding out the environmental impact. My third tip, which is a little more involved, is to go through your trash. Look at the waste that you're creating and try and categorize it. And then once you know what you're throwing away, you can then take steps to eliminate that kind of waste. So, for example, I went through my trash and noticed we were using a ton of paper towels. So I took some old T-shirts that I was, you know, going to either throw away or give to Goodwill, and cut them up. And now I use those as rags instead of paper towels. And now I don't have to empty my trash nearly as much.
Wow, that's so cool. So you literally did, like, your own personal home trash audit.
When I was working at the laboratory, I used to work with a lot of schools as well. And we would just take their trash and dump it out. And it's, like, it sounds disgusting, but it's so amazing to go face-to-face with something that you've completely forgotten about. You know, we say throwing something away, but the fact is there is no away. We are living in the away. This, everything is the land of away, and every single piece of plastic you ever throw away will still be here when your great, 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 great grandkids are alive. So, you know, we have to start thinking more about the future generations and what kind of world we're leaving for them. And that's why I think, you know, making all of these small changes is how you create a lifestyle. So you don't need to, like, you know, completely change your life in one day, but the more awareness you start building, you're going to start making these daily changes, and it'll just be habit. You know, like, I never buy drinks in plastic, and that's just now, it's like, it's just how I am. Like, I just won't buy a drink in plastic, and I'm used to it, and I always carry my water bottle everywhere. So, you know, it's like, it's tough because I think, you know, some of these changes involve sacrifice, and I think you just have to be willing to make those changes for the greater good, even though they're not necessarily immediately visible.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I hear this a lot on this podcast from people. You know, it's about your 5 seconds of convenience versus something that's going to outlive you on the planet.
Right. And, you know, I was just making a meme last night about plastic. And right now, less than 10% of plastic is recycled once.
Is recycled.
And then less than 1% is recycled more than once. So that entire, everything you've ever been told as a child and shown about the recycling symbol is completely fake. It's totally a lie. And we need to start, you know, waking up to the realities that recycling is not the answer. Using less is the answer.
We don't really have that much of a circular economy anymore when it comes to recycling. And China has been refusing the U.S.'s recycling materials for a bit now. So we are really running into this kind of very big issue with the plastics just being dumped straight into the waste stream.
Exactly. I mean, that statistic is from 2014. And the green fence where China stopped taking our recycling has been going on for, you know, about 8 months now. So, you know, that statistic is outdated. And it's like, you know, we have a few domestic recycling facilities for plastic, but not very many. And definitely not enough to handle the load. So, you know, that's a topic I'm very interested in and actually hope to really start tackling once we get, you know, Final Straw running a little more smoothly.
Well, so I want to ask this question because this is my, like, end question for the podcast. I feel like you've already said it, but what's your craziest future sustainability story?
Well, I would definitely say that the craziest thing I've done so far is secretly collecting all of the trash at my office at the lab for a week. I didn't tell anyone. And after the week was over, I sent out an email to everyone in the office that said, hey, can everyone come outside? I need to show everyone something. No hints as to what I was doing. So eventually I've gathered everyone and I do this big reveal that I've collected all the trash and that we are now, for the next hour, going to go through and sort it into different piles and categorize it. And that's how I kind of started doing this waste characterization work. But
oh my
I think
God.
If you knew more, too, about the people that I work with and the location, it was pretty ridiculous.
That's so crazy. So what came out of that? Like, what ended up happening afterwards?
I think that it really opened people's eyes. I mean, you never come face-to-face with your trash, ever. And to actually take the time to look through what you throw out is very intense. And you know, I can't speak for everyone else, though I did, you know, have a lot of positive reviews. But for me, it certainly had a massive impact. And, you know, I already know a lot about trash, but still to actually have my hands in it in an office. I was working in an environmental office at the lab, and it was like, you know, there was a ton of items in there that could technically be recycled. There were a ton of single-use items, and we have a kitchen, so there's no excuse to be using any single-use, and people were then allowed to, like, check it out and use it because, you know, there's 12,000 people at that lab. There's a lot of, you know, birthday and, like, retirement parties, and there's just a lot of events happening.
That's so cool. Well, I mean, this has been such a really interesting conversation. I think we covered a lot more different topics and things than I even thought that we would. How can people get in touch with you? So if they're interested in learning more about Final Straw or they just want to send you a good email and send some positive vibes your way.
So you can always email me, emma@suckresponsibly.com. I'm Emma Sirena. That's Sirena, S-I-R-E-N-A, like mermaid in Spanish. On Instagram, our Final Straw Instagram is _FinalStraw_. If you like silly memes, check it out. I make them all, and it's really fun. Suckresponsibly.com, because there are some posers out there now.
Cool. Awesome. Emma, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah. That was really fun to chat.
I think what I love most about this conversation was the randomness that Emma went through to get to her current project being the co-founder of Final Straw. From dressing up as mermaids to go clean up trash on the ocean to working at the place where the Manhattan Project was born. And then finally ending up being the co-founder of this kick-ass company. Their product is still being manufactured, but if you want your own Final Straw so you can stop sucking, you can pre-order it now on their Kickstarter page. Visit suckresponsibly.com. Emma does advise that any straws not purchased directly from their website are counterfeit or scams, so please be sure to purchase your straws directly at suckresponsibly.com. Think about it as a worthwhile investment into your sustainability journey. Tune in next week to get into more conversations with eco-warriors who want to save the ocean from single-use plastics and make our entire society more earth-friendly. If you're a rockstar eco-warrior badass like I know you are, don't forget to rate, subscribe, and share this podcast. You never know who you're going to help influence, and the more people that we can help spur... You never know who you're going to influence, and the more people that know, the more we can spur other eco-warriors to action. Tune in again next week, eco-warriors. Stay green.
Thanks for talking dirty with us. Tune in next week for more Trash Talking with eco-warriors. For more inspiration, follow us on Instagram at TrashyBeautyCo.